Lightning components run at the client side, in a single page, where they are created and destroyed as needed, and alongside other components that work on the same data. In this blog post, we discuss how these characteristics impact performance, and review a list of best practices to optimize the performance of your Lightning components. If you are just starting with Lightning components, consider completing the following Trailhead modules before diving deeper. Quick Start, Lightning Components. Lightning Components Basics. The list of performance best practices discussed in this document includes Data Retrieval, Data Caching, Component Instantiation, Conditional Rendering, Data Binding, Lists or Iteration Events, Third-Party JavaScript Libraries, Base Lightning Components, Image Optimization, Rendering and Reflow, Development Settings versus Production Settings, Performance Profiling Tools, Data Retrieval, Optimize Server Round Trips. Before making a call to the server, make sure there's no other option to obtain the data. When appropriate, consider passing data between components, using attributes, events, or methods, rather than retrieving the same data in different components. The Lightning Data Service, currently in developer preview and beta in Summer 17, also allows you to efficiently share data between components. When making a call to the server, limit the columns and rows of the result set. Only select the columns you need. Set a limit on the query and provide a paging mechanism if needed. Don't return huge numbers of rows at once. Lazy load occasionally access data. Don't preload data that the user may never ask for example, data hidden behind a tab the user may not click, or in a COMO box the user may not open. Client-side filtering and sorting, don't make a call to the server to filter or sort data you already have at the client side. Consider combining several requests, actions, in a single composite request. Cache data when possible, see data caching. Data caching. Application composition is a powerful way to build apps by assembling self-contained components. However, without proper planning, the autonomous nature of the components you assemble can have an adverse impact on performance. For example, if all the components you build make their own isolated calls to the server to retrieve the data they need, you'll probably end up with lots of redundant server calls, which can dramatically impact performance. Client-side data caching can solve that problem by sharing data among components. This can significantly reduce the number of server round trips and improve the performance of your Lightning components. The Lightning Component Framework has two built-in mechanisms for client-side caching, storable actions and Lightning Data Service. You can also implement a custom caching solution. Storable actions. A storable action is a server action whose response is stored in the client cache so that subsequent requests for the same server method with the same set of arguments can be accessed from that cache. Server actions enable you to access data using a traditional RPC approach. You implement some logic in Apex that you expose as a remotely invocable method. Storable actions enable you to cache virtually anything, whatever the server method call returns, a record, a collection of records, a composite object, a custom data structure, data returned by a callout to a third-party service, and so on. The general guideline is to cache, mark as storable, any action that is idempotent and non-mutating. More information. Read the Caching Data with Storable Actions blog post. Check out the Dreamhouse sample application for examples. Storable actions are used in the following components: property list days on market chart, property tile list, and similar properties. Lightning Data Service. Lightning Data Service provides a managed record approach. You're not responsible for writing data access logic, no Apex. The framework is responsible for managing records, fetching them from the server when requested the first time, storing them in a highly efficient client cache, sharing them between all components that request them, and sending changes to the server. Lightning Data Service also handles progressive loading. It only loads the requested fields. If another component subsequently requires additional fields, these fields are loaded transparently and added to the record in the cache. Unlike storable actions that can cache any type of response returned by an Apex method, Lightning Data Service caches discrete Salesforce's objects, record collections, and other data types like metadata are on the roadmap. Lightning Data Service also improves user interface consistency. When a component updates a record, All the other components using that record are notified, and in most cases refreshed automatically. More information. Check out the following components in DreamHouse to see the Lightning Data Service in action: Property Map, Property Summary, Mortgage Calculator, Custom Cache. You can also implement your own custom cache approach. As always, make sure you don't reinvent the wheel and only use a custom cache approach when there is no standard way to implement your caching requirements in the framework. For example, a custom cache can be a good solution for static data like a list of states in the United States, pick list values, and so on. You can use a storable action in this case too, but it still generates unneeded server calls every time the data in the cache is older than the refresh age, currently set to 30 seconds in the framework. If you know that the data won't change or changes infrequently, you can implement a custom cache solution that retrieves the data once after the user logs in and then never goes back to the server. Check out the Mutual Fund Explorer app for an example of a custom cache. Open the data cache static resource, file greater than open greater than static resource greater than data cache in the developer console. And then check out the sector selector and asset class selector components to see how it's used to cache the list of sectors and asset classes. More information. Read the modularizing code in Lightning Components blog post for strategies to implement a custom cache. Summary of client-side caching options. Caching requirements recommended solution: single record Lightning data service, collections of records, composite responses, custom data structures, third-party data storable actions, complete control over caching implementation, custom cache. Component instantiation. Showing every available piece of data and every available tool on the screen just in case the user may need it is generally not considered a good UI practice. It can also significantly impact the performance of your application. Today's interactive design guidelines favor progressive disclosure. Progressive disclosure is an interaction design technique often used in human-computer interaction to help maintain the focus of a user's attention by reducing clutter, confusion, and cognitive workload. This improves usability by presenting only the minimum data required for the task at hand, Wikipedia. Put another way, progressive disclosure defers advanced or rarely used features to a secondary screen, making applications easier to learn and less error-prone, Jacob Nielsen. In Lightning experience, it's easy to implement progressive disclosure and defer the data or features that aren't essential to the task at hand. Let's take a closer look at two approaches to defer component creation. Lazy instantiation in Lightning experience. Lightning components added to a page layout are instantiated when the page is loaded, contributing to the overall loading time of the page. For the right use cases, components can be hosted in specific areas in the Lightning experience where they are lazily instantiated. Quick or global actions. Utility bar. App builder tabs. Lazy instantiation in your own components. You can use Aura if to lazily instantiate parts of the UI, see conditional rendering section. Some components, like Lightning Tab Set and Lightning Tab, support lazy instantiation by default. You can also instantiate components programmatically using AustralianDollar.createComponent, however, that approach is generally harder to code, maintain, and debug. Conditional rendering. There are two popular techniques to conditionally render UI elements. Toggling visibility using CSS. For example, skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. Or, skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. The div component and all of its children are created and rendered up front, but they're hidden. If there are event listeners attached to the div or any of its children, these event listeners would be live. Conditionally creating elements using Aura if. For example, skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. In this case, the div component and all its children are only created if the value of the isTrue expression evaluates to true. All the components inside the Aura if tag are destroyed if the value of the isTrue expression changes and evaluates to false. They're recreated the next time the value of the isTrue expression changes again and evaluates to true. Guideline: use Aura if. The general guideline is to use the ORAF approach because it helps your components load faster initially by deferring the creation and rendering of the enclosed element tree until the condition is fulfilled. Components inside an ORAF with the value of its is true expression evaluating to false aren't created and aren't part of the DOM. Event listeners aren't created either. Note, the ORA renderIF approach is deprecated and shouldn't be used. More information. In the DreamHouse sample application, the picture gallery card and map components use ORAF to toggle between regular and full screen mode. The property summary and smart price calculator components use ORAF to defer the instantiation of their body until a property is selected when used in a master/details interface. Data binding. There are two ways to establish a connection between UI elements and attributes, bound and unbound expressions. Bound expressions provide an implementation of bidirectional data binding. Bidirectional data binding provides a convenient and powerful abstraction. However, it also comes at a cost. The framework has to set up two event listeners for each bound expression, which can have a negative impact on performance when there is a large number of bound expressions. It also creates an entanglement between the model and the view that can make your code harder to maintain and issues harder to debug in non-trivial situations. Unbound expressions can have a positive impact on performance because they don't maintain event listeners. However, they may not be the right solution for use cases where the UI has to be kept in sync with a changing model. In the DreamHouse sample application, components created inside ORA iteration use unbound expressions to avoid the proliferation of event listeners. See property list days on market chart for an example. Also see how property tile is bound to property objects inside property tile list. If you use data binding as a way to execute logic in a child component, consider using ORA method instead to provide your component with a public API. Check out the Mutual Fund Explorer app for an example of using ORA method. The fund info pop-up component provides an API, show pop-up and hide pop-up, to show and hide the pop-up. More information. Read the Lightning Inter Component Communication Patterns blog post for more details on inter component communication patterns in general. Lists, ORA iteration. When creating custom list components, typically using ORA iteration don't support the creation of an infinite number of list items. Either provide a pagination mechanism, or virtualize the list, reuse and rehydrate a limited number of list item components. Check out the paginator component along with the property controller Apex class in DreamHouse for an example of a paginated list. Events. Minimize the number of event handlers. Use unbound expressions when possible. Use ORAF when you need to conditionally render UI elements. Components inside an ORAF with its is true expression evaluating to false aren't created, which means that event listeners attached to these components aren't created either. Limit the use of application events to coarse-grained application-level communication. For example, communication between components added to pages in App Builder. For finer-grained communication between components. Use component events for child-to-parent communication. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. Use attributes or ORA method for parent-to-child communication. When working with lists, letting events bubble and registering a single event listener on a parent element instead of a separate event listener on every list item can significantly reduce the number of event listeners in your application, which can have a positive impact on performance. In the Mutual Fund Explorer application, check out the Fund Tile List component and see how a single and mouse move event listener is registered on the list element, all, instead of a separate listener on every list item, LI, inside the Fund Tile component. More information. In DreamHouse, see the property tile list and paginator components for an example of inter-component communication using a component event. See property tile list and property map for an example of using an application event to communicate between components in App Builder. Third-party JavaScript libraries. Remove dependencies on unneeded libraries. Before you decide to use a third-party library in a Lightning component, you should reevaluate if you really need that library. DOM manipulation libraries, like jQuery, and UI libraries, like Bootstrap or jQuery UI, in particular may no longer be needed when working with the Lightning Component Framework. DOM manipulation libraries. JavaScript has come a long way in recent years. Many DOM manipulation utilities we couldn't live without in libraries like jQuery are now standard in the language. Modern frameworks like the Lightning Component Framework also provide abstractions that make jQuery less relevant. UI libraries. You may also want to reconsider the use of UI libraries like Bootstrap and jQuery UI. Although these libraries provide useful components, they have their own UI identity that can clash with the Lightning Experience identity. The base Lightning components and the Lightning Design System offer similar capabilities while providing a consistent user experience. MVC frameworks. At a high level, libraries like React and AngularJS have the same focus as the Lightning Component Framework. They provide code organization and utilities to create components. Using another MVC framework together with the Lightning Component Framework inside a component isn't recommended. You can, however, use a Lightning component as a container to host components built with other frameworks, like React and AngularJS, inside the Lightning experience, but this is outside the scope of this document. See Locker Service and Lightning Container Component, Securely Using Third-Party Libraries in Lightning Components blog post for details. Use minified versions of libraries and style sheets. When you use a third-party library, make sure you use minified versions of the library and style sheet. More information. Read Building Lightning Components Chart.js blog post for an example of how to use Chart.js in Lightning Components. Base Lightning Components. There are two sets of core user interface components. The original components that were made available when the Lightning Component Framework first came out live in the UI namespace, less than UI, button less than UI, input text and so on. The new and improved components, also known as the base Lightning components, live in the Lightning namespace, Lightning button, Lightning input and so on. Whenever possible, use the base Lightning components, components in the Lightning namespace. Benefits include styles. Base Lightning components are styled with a native Lightning look and feel. Performance. Base Lightning components are already loaded at the client side and don't require additional download or processing. Our performance optimization efforts are also focused on components in the Lightning namespace. Innovation. The Lightning namespace is where components are being actively developed. This is where you can expect to see new and improved components moving forward. Accessibility. Base Lightning components are built for accessibility. Client-side validation. Base Lightning components include client-side validation when applicable. Image optimization. When possible, use the sprite-based Lightning Design System icons, using Lightning icon and Lightning button icon instead of custom icons. Lock image dimensions to avoid reflows and serve the image in those dimensions when possible. For example, don't load a high-resolution image to display a thumbnail. Rendering and reflow. Understand when and why your component is being re-rendered. Read the rendering lifecycle and events fired during the rendering lifecycle sections in the documentation. Minimize the number of times your component is being re-rendered. Lock DOM regions to specific dimensions to avoid browser reflows of surrounding areas. Avoid direct DOM manipulation. Development settings versus production settings. Optimizations for a production environment and a development environment are different. Here is a typical question asked in the developer forums. Greater than when I make changes in a component, I need to refresh the page a few times in the browser for my changes to take effect. Why do I have to do that, and how can I avoid it? The reason is that to optimize performance in a production environment, component definitions are cached at the client side. As a result, when you make a change to a component, and then reload the page hosting the component, you can still get the previous version of the component served from the client cache. You can usually get the new version of the component by refreshing the page a couple of times, but that isn't a suitable developer experience. The solution is to disable client-side caching during development. Recommended settings. Development production debug mode on off, component caching off on. To enable / disable debug mode, set up greater than custom code greater than Lightning components. To enable / disable component caching, set up greater than security greater than session settings greater than caching, and uncheck enable secure and persistent browser caching to improve performance. Important note, client-side caching and debugging are org-wide settings. Disabling client-side caching and enabling debugging has a significant impact on performance. Only do this in your development environment, not in a production environment. Similarly, if you run tests to assess the performance of your environment, remember to turn these settings back to the production values. Performance profiling tools. If you face a performance problem in a component, make sure you understand what the real problem is before trying to solve it. Don't make assumptions. Use profiling tools to identify the performance bottlenecks. Profile components with Chrome Timeline. Use the Salesforce Lightning Inspector Chrome extension. Analyze with the Salesforce Community Page Optimizer. Summary. The performance of an application is impacted by many different factors. The performance optimization techniques described in this article are general guidelines that should help you build applications that are faster and more responsive. Try them out in your application, and let us know what your favorite performance optimization techniques are.